Just a few broken pieces to work with, a handful of fragments of me. But Jesus picked them all up with his sweet hand of love. His vision was what I could be. He took what the world saw as worthless and created a masterpiece made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, grace from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy.
Explain how he found me. I was hopelessly lost in sin, but Jesus could see what tomorrow would bring, and he did his work within. With the skill of a potter, he molded
from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. Made by mercy, shaped in love, Father's hand, grace from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, thank God for his grace. Amen. Man, I'm thankful for the grace of God in my life. Amen. Say, well, you're not much, Brother David. Well, he didn't have much to work with, amen, but I'm a lot more than what I used to be, amen. I'm thankful for what God's done in my life. James chapter number 4, in verse number 14, the scripture was read in your hearing. It's running through my mind, so I'm going to say it. You ain't always supposed to say what's running through your mind, right? I said I ain't much. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll say we're not much, and you know what we'll do? We'll almost minimize what we are. I'm a child of the King. Amen. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I got royal blood flowing through my veins. And I understand that. I'm not saying we ought to be prideful in that, but we ought not, you know, bring it down. I'm one of God's children. Amen. Nothing I did. He did it. But thank God I'm rejoicing in it, and I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. I'm loving it. Amen. I'm one of God's children. Amen. James chapter number 4, verse 14. I'm going to preach a very convicting message to me this morning. And as I begin to preach, I want to go ahead and go on record saying right now that I'm not preaching this message as someone that claims to have arrived. I'm preaching a message this morning that I may need more than, or at least as much as, anybody in this building this morning. And so I want you to understand that as I preach, I'm preaching God's word, but I need this. God's spoken to my heart, and I hope that it'll speak to your heart. The message that I'm going to be preaching this morning, the text verse I'm going to use as a springboard kind of get into my message, in verse number 14, it says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" What a question. What is your life? As far as I know, that's the only time that question is asked in the Word of God. What is your life? And not only is that question asked, but it's answered. James wrote here in verse number 14, "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." I want us to kind of ponder that thought this morning. Our life is but a vapor. Now, I'm not going to spend much time this morning trying to tell you or explain to you what a vapor is. We all know what a vapor is. It's like the morning fog. It comes and it's gone. It's like the steam over boiling hot water. It comes up and it's gone. And James said here in God's word, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that your life, my life, is but a vapor. It's here for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. I don't know about you, but when I think about that verse of Scripture, and as I think about every time I read my Bible and I come to this passage of Scripture, I'm always reminded of this thought, and it's just something that runs through my mind. I preached a message some years ago to our teenagers, and ever since then, this thought has run through my mind as I read James chapter 4, and it's this thought: I don't want to waste it. One life. One life, brethren. I don't want to waste it. I want to read something to you, and I wasn't sure if I would do that this morning, but I want to do it. I'm not going to read the entirety of this poem, but I challenge you sometime to Google C.T. Studd poem. That's all you got to Google, and it's going to come up. And I want to read a little bit of this poem to you. I'm not going to read it in its entirety, but I want you to listen as I read it. Young people, listen to me. This is important. It's Youth Sunday, and I want the youth to listen to me because this is for you, okay? It's for all of us this morning. But youth, please hear what I'm telling you this morning. It says, "Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, which will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, which will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years. Each with its burdens, hopes, and fears. Each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." And there's an extra stanza to that poem. It says, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee." Brethren, we got one chance at this thing called life. And as we end out a year that's been a great year in my life, a great year in this church's life. And we began into a new year, if the Lord wills. It's going to be short. Life is short. Young people, hear me. Life is short. I can't believe I'm getting ready to, I'm sneaking up on 40, Brother David. And some people in here say, well, you're young, Brother David. Well, I'm not as young as I once was. Amen. But I can't believe how it's flown by. It truly is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. And when I think of my life being that, I don't want to waste my life. And so I want to speak this morning on that subject. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Young people, hear me this morning. One life. One life. It soon will pass. Don't waste it. All of us this morning need to get that thought in our hearts. We've only got one life to live. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste it. You say, what is waste, Brother David? I looked it up in a 1828 Webster's dictionary. Waste is this: to cause to be lost, to squander, to throw away, to make worthless, useless expense, any loss or destruction which in neither necessary or promotive of a good end. Do you get that? It says, any loss or destruction which is neither necessary or promotive of a good end is a waste. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste what God has given me. You know, I'm one of those people, I don't like to waste things. I was thinking about this. I might be alone here. I feel that I'm probably not. But I'm one of those people, I'll make myself miserable at the dinner table because I can't stand to waste food. Can I get a witness? Amen. I mean, that's been my excuse all these years. But I can't stand to waste food. I mean, Brother David, I'm one of those people, and there's people in this room that can testify to it, that will call somebody and say, hey, I got this you know, chili in the refrigerator, and it's been in there for 8 days. You think it's all right to eat it? You know, you think it's, I'll call my mom, you think this is going to hurt me? Right? Why? Because I don't want to waste it. I mean, I hate throwing food away. Right? I got a basement full of, I'm filling up on paint cans. I'm a painter by trade, and I'm filling up on paint cans because I finish up a job, and the homeowner says, well, I don't want that paint. Can you do something with it? And I'm thinking, well, I hate to see a good can of paint go to waste, right? So I take it to my house, and then I realize 5 years later, it's wasted anyway in my basement, right? But I don't know. God's allowed me to give people paint every now and then. So if you need some paint, amen, I'm putting a plug in. I've got some in my basement. I'll help you out. Can't pick your colors. You just get what you're given. But, hey, it's paint, right? It'll go. But you can mix it all together. That's what Brother Allen did. Get some color, amen. I just don't like wasting things. I really do not like to waste things. I could go on and on about the things in my life that I just can't stand to waste. I got tools that, I mean, they've had better days. They need to be thrown away, but I don't want to waste them. I'm like, I can use this one more time, amen? I can wear this one more time, right? I can do this one more time. I don't want to waste it. And you know what? If I'm not careful, I'll spend my life trying to save things that really mean nothing. And all along, while I'm trying to save all these things that really are going to mean nothing when it's all said and done, I'll waste the things that really mean something. I hate wasting things. But man, I don't want to waste the most important things. And so this morning, I want to preach to you on that subject. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. God has given us some wonderful things. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste them. You say, what are they, Brother David? Well, number one, is found in verse number 14 here, is time. Time. Now, understand, I said before I started preaching, I'm preaching to myself this morning. But God's given me a little span of life, and it's called time. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste the time that God has given me. James chapter 14, verse 4, verse 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then it vanisheth away. I don't want to waste the time that God's given me. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And listen to what he says, redeeming the time. Colossians chapter number 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul writing to that church at Colossae, he said walking amongst them that are lost, he says, redeeming the time. You say, what does redeeming the time, Brother David? It means buying it back, using it wisely, not wasting it. I want to redeem the time that God has given me because it's not much in this life. I don't want to waste my time. Now, I understand, and before someone misunderstands, and you don't have all the time to preach everything in a short message, but I want you to understand something. Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter number 3, verses 1 through 8. Solomon, maybe the wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus to ever live, he talked about time, and he said there's a time to laugh, and there's a time to mourn, and there's a time for war, and there's a time for peace, and he said there's a time for everything. So I'm not saying this morning that if you spend time with your family, if you go on a vacation, if you do something fun around your house, if you sit down and play a board game, I'm not saying that you're wasting your time, but I'm just saying we need to be careful about how we use the time that God has given us. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste my time. You see, time is a precious thing. You know, we talk about precious jewels. You say, what is a precious jewel, Brother David? That's something there's not much of. We call something there's not much of precious, right? Can I tell you, time is precious. There's not much of it. It's precious. It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. You don't have a lot of it. Nobody's guaranteed another day. Your time could be up today. And I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm just trying to get us to realize, hey, we're not guaranteed anything. Time's precious. Time is priceless. You can't put a price tag on time. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There's no value in time. You can't buy back time. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much clout you have. I don't care what your last name is. Hey, when it's gone, it's gone. You can't buy it back. There's no price tag on time. It's precious. It's priceless. It's potential. I don't want to waste it because it's potential. This time that God has given me is potential for me to use for His glory. So I don't want to waste time. Say, Brother David, you're wasting my time. Hey, man, I hope not. I hope not. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste it. Not only that, is time something I don't want to waste? It's talent. Talent. Don't waste it. Don't waste the time that God's given you. Don't waste the talent that God has given you. I want to have you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to go through these kind of quick. These are a message in themselves. Okay, every one of these could be preached a message in themselves. But I want to go through them this morning, what God's laid on my heart. I want to tell you, hey, don't waste the talent that God's given you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Bible says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for what? To profit withal. Now, there's debate about the gifts of God to the church, but me personally, hey, God, I believe God has given every man a gift. Romans chapter number 12 talks about the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts. Ephesians chapter number 4, it talks about the gifts that God's given to the church. Those gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, God has given everybody a talent. God has given everybody a gift. And can I tell you, as for me, I don't know about you, I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste the talent that God's given me. I don't have much of it. What I do have, I don't want to waste it. And if God's talented you, don't waste it. So many people have wasted their talent. I almost did it, but I didn't have time this morning. I could spend an hour reading off people that we would know, names that we would recognize, celebrities and singers and athletes, people that were very gifted and very talented, and they wasted it. They wasted it. They spend it on things that are gonna burn, things that are not gonna last forever. I just come to my mind right now. I think of Britney Spears, of Jessica Simpson. I'm showing my age now, right? These were ladies who grew up, Whitney Houston, grew up singing in church. And I don't know what type of church, but they grew up singing in church. They learned to use their vocal cords and their abilities and their talents in the house of God. But they went on and they wasted it. They wasted it. You know where Whitney Houston was found? Dead, overdosed in a bathtub. You say, why, Brother David? Because she wasted it. She wasted it. The talent that God gave her, she wasted it. Say, Britney Spears, last time I saw her, and this was years ago, she had shaved her head and was in an insane asylum. She wasted it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. There's people in this auditorium, all over this auditorium, from the youngest to the eldest, that are saved by the grace of God, and God's given you a talent to sing or to speak or to help or to encourage or to give or to, I don't know, God has given you a talent, and God has put you in the body, and you're in that body to profit the entire body. Don't waste it. Don't waste the talent that God's given you. One life. One life, which will soon be passed. It's not how much money it's going to matter. Not how many friends, not how famous it's going to matter. What's done for Christ is what's going to last. Don't waste your talent. Don't waste your time. Talent, I said, you need to find it. You need to fulfill it. You need to be faithful with it. I'm going to move on. Treasure. Don't waste time. Don't waste talent. Hey, don't waste treasure. Turn to Luke chapter 12, if you would. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter 12, we have the parable of the rich fool. In verse 16, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." You say, Brother Dave, why did you say my? This man wasted his treasure. Did you see the personal words he was using here? My. He had a treasure and he wasted it. Jesus told him that. Verse number 20 says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You see, when we lay our treasures up for ourselves, when we build us a little nest egg, and when we get all that we can get, and we start building us barns and trying to keep everything God's given to us, God says, "You're a fool." Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against saving. I'm not against preparing. But I don't know. As for me, I'm living by faith. Amen. God's going to take care of me. Call me foolish if you want to. I don't know how long I got. I don't want to leave it here for the Antichrist. Amen. If I got it, I'm going to give it. I'm going to spend it. I'm going to use it. And thank God I'm a part of a church that I believe is too. Hey, can I tell you, I'm preaching this morning. I understand to the choir. We didn't pay off $220,000 in under 6 months from some people that don't understand what I'm preaching this morning. So I understand. There's some folks in this building this morning. You understand where real treasure is, and God bless you and thank God for you. Hey, but for those of us that need to be reminded, hey, God has given us some treasure, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste it. I think about Luke chapter 15, that prodigal son. You know what it says he did? He asked his father, "Father, give me my portion of goods. Give me what's coming to me, Dad. Give it all to me." You know what the Bible says? It says that he went out and he wasted his substance with riotous living. Wasted it. Wasted the treasure that was given to him. Hey, I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste it. Say, these people that wasted that treasure that they... I wrote this down. I'm not going to go through them. I believe the people that waste treasure, they forget whose it is. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. It's God's, it's not ours. So if we give it back to Him, it's not a waste. It's already His. I think people forget whose it is. I think they forget what it's for. Can I tell you, what God gives me is not for me, it's for His glory. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. They forgot where it come from. They forgot whose it is. They forgot where it's going. Look at verse number 33. Verse 33 of chapter 12 of Luke, he said, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think people forget where their treasure's going. Brethren, if our treasure's here on this earth, you know where it's going? Up in smoke. Like our life, it's a vapor. The treasures we have on this earth, can I tell you, they're going up in smoke. That money, that house, those cars, those clothes, those fine things, can I tell you where they're going to go? They're going up in smoke. But he said, hey, there is a treasure you can send ahead. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says that we need to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You putting your treasures in heaven, or you putting them, I'm sorry, in Union Bank, amen. No, I'm sorry, God choked me up because I said that, amen. No, it's okay to put your money in the bank, amen, but don't put it all there. Don't put it all there. You better put some in heaven, amen. You might get that dreaded phone call one day. The money at the bank's gone. Yeah, right? I hope you don't get it. It's coming. It's coming. There's going to come a time you're going to buy and sell one way. It ain't going to be through the debit card. It's going to be the mark of the beast. That stuff's going away from here. Your treasure here, is it in heaven? They waste it. Their time, their talent, their treasure. Don't waste it. I put this down, and I'm going to go quickly. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. This one is going to make sense to some people, but God laid it on my heart, so I'm going to share it. Maybe somebody here today needs it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste talent. Don't waste treasure. Can I tell you this? Don't waste trials. Don't waste trials. Testings, tribulations. James chapter number 1, verse number 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Again, over in Romans, it talks about, Romans, I believe it is chapter number 6, 8, I'm not sure. Romans talks about faith. Romans chapter 5 says, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Can I tell you this morning, don't waste the trials and the tribulations in your life. I don't know this morning what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But there could be somebody that walked in this building this morning. You say, you know what, Brother David? 2017 wasn't good to me. 2017 was hard for me. 2017 was the worst year of my life. I can't wait to get into 2018. I'm going through a trial that nobody knows about. I'm having a test in my life that I can't even put into words. Can I tell you this morning, hey, don't waste it. Don't waste that trial that God has brought into your life, because God wants to teach you something through the trials. God wants to teach you something through the troubles. God wants to teach us something through the temptations in our lives. I think about those disciples when Jesus would tell them, hey guys, get on the boat and go to the other side, knowing good and well they were going to get into a storm and they were going to fear for their lives. And you say, what was God doing? He was sending them through a trial so that He could perfect them. See, some storms, some trials in our lives are storms of correction, and some are trials of perfection. And God might be trying to perfect you this morning. God might be trying to perfect me this morning. And if that's what God's doing in my life, I don't want to waste it. So I don't know what you're going through today, but if you're going through a hard time, hey, maybe God is wanting to do something in your life. Don't waste it. Definitely don't waste it, because I believe if you do, you'll probably have to face it again. So, testings, trials, don't waste them. Testimony. testimony. I won't have you turn there. I'm going to go through some of these quickly for sake of time. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 10. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my testimony. Hear me this morning. Hear me. When I say the name Demas, for those of you that have been in church any time, immediately you think, I know that name. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Say, what do you mean, Brother Dave? I believe Demas lost his testimony. There was a time that Demas was serving. There was a time that Demas was walking. There was a time that Demas was right there with the Apostle Paul. When Paul come to the end of his life, you know what he said? He said, Demas hath forsaken me. He wasted his testimony. Hey, don't waste your testimony. I don't want to waste my testimony. I don't want to serve God for years and years and get a testimony as a Christian, as someone that loves God, someone that serves God, and then in a moment of weakness go after this world, the things of this world, and fall in love with this world and lose my testimony. Hey, don't waste it. I think the Apostle Paul kind of had that in mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, I don't want to waste my testimony. I believe Paul was even actually saying, I don't want to waste my trophies. Paul said, I've preached to others about running in a race, and I've preached to others about fighting a good fight, and I've preached to others about gaining rewards. And he said, I got to keep my body under subjection. I got to bring myself under the power of the Holy Spirit. I got to fight a fight every single day with my flesh, because I don't want to waste my testimony, and I don't want to waste my trophies that I have stored up on the other side. Paul said, I don't want to waste it. Don't waste it. Don't waste the testimony. Don't waste the trophies. Hey, don't waste the truth. James chapter number 1. We're in James. James chapter number 1. Look at verse number 22. It says this in verse number 22. Follow with me, young people. Hey, wake up. Listen to me this morning. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. James chapter 1 verse 22 says this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You say, what happened? He wasted it. Can I tell you, if you come to church this morning, if I come to church this morning and all I hear is the word of God, and I'm just a hearer only, but I walk outside of these doors and I do what I want to do instead of what God's word says to do, I've wasted it. I've wasted it. The truth, wasted, thrown away, useless, of no good. It's not enough just to hear the word of God. I'm so concerned as a youth pastor, as someone that teaches young people that have been brought up from a child, they know the scriptures. They know what it says. They can quote the verses. But what are they doing with them? What are they doing with them? If you're not doing something with the truth, it's wasted. Don't waste the truth. Don't waste it. Not only that, hey, don't waste the training. I said that about those young children or the teaching. I think of over in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse number 5 and verse number 6. If you look it up when you have some time, Paul writing to Timothy, he told Timothy, I'm put in remembrance of your mother and your grandmother, Eunice and Lois. He said, how that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He said, stir up that gift inside of you. Stir it up, Timothy. Don't waste it. Don't waste what grandma taught you. Don't waste what mama taught you, Timothy. Don't waste the teaching and the training that you had, Timothy. Don't waste it. Chapter number 3 and verse number 14, Paul again writing to Timothy says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast heard. He said, continue in those things, Timothy. Don't waste them.
Don't waste the teaching and the training that you've had. Many of you underneath the sound of my voice this morning, some of you have grown up in church your entire life. You know nothing but Sunday school. You know nothing but preaching. You know nothing but a King James Bible. Can I tell you, don't waste it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Don't waste the training and the teaching that's been poured into you. Don't waste it. He said, don't waste it, Timothy. My last point. I said this, don't waste time. Don't waste talent. Don't waste treasure. Don't waste trials or testings. Don't waste your testimony. Don't waste the truth. Don't waste the training. Don't waste the teaching. Don't waste the trophies. Can I say this morning? I believe this might be the most important one of them all. Don't waste today. Don't waste today. You know, I can't go back. I told you it's priceless, priceless, it's precious. I can't go back to yesterday. If I'm honest with you, I wasted some time yesterday. I'll say this, just about any time spent on Facebook is a waste. Amen. And I wasted some, so I'm not, you know, hey, you said, Brother David, you don't got Facebook. Yeah, I do, and I wasted some time on it. Now, there's some things. Don't get me wrong. I said already, hey, there's a time for everything. If you go home and watch football today, I'm not. Don't say Brother David said, I'm just wasting time, right? You're tired, right? It's the Lord's day. If you want to watch football, then watch football, right? It ain't going to be any good games on, but watch it anyway. Amen. That's what you want. Let it watch you. Amen. But don't waste today. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I thought about 2018 and preparing this message. And a lot of us talk about, you know, a new year, new goals. And Brother Allen challenged our young people to read their Bible through this year. Give them a nice chart. And I hope they take the challenge. And I hope they set that goal. And I hope they carry through with it. And can I tell you, I almost preached a message on a fresh start. I had a message out of Joshua, but God wanted me to preach this message. And I'm all for setting goals. I'm all for a fresh start. I'm all for, you know, a new day. And that's kind of what tomorrow represents, is a new day. But can I tell you, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. All we've got is today. Don't waste it. He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For a man doesn't know what a day may bring forth. Over and over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says today. Today, if you will hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, today, today. Christian, God is saying today. The devil's saying tomorrow. God is saying today. Today's all we're guaranteed. Today. Don't waste today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted and in the day of salvation. And it goes on to say, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. Today. I think about Pharaoh in Exodus chapter number 8. I'm almost done. Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 8, one of the most interesting or confusing or I can't even explain it, intriguing verses in all the scriptures in Exodus chapter number 8 when Moses came and he sent those plagues on Egypt. Well, God sent the plagues through Moses and Aaron and the plague of the frogs came, right? And the Bible says they were everywhere. They were in the bed chamber. They were in the cupboard. They were on the plate, under the table, in their shoes. I mean, they were everywhere. Frogs, 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 right? Some of you like frogs, but not that many, right? I don't even like one frog. I was walking up my sidewalk and one jumped, like, scared me to death, right? Frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh said, called for Moses, said, Moses, please get rid of these frogs. Frogs, Turn to Exodus chapter 8, if you don't mind. And we're going to close there. Exodus chapter 8. He said, Moses, please come. And he entreated him. He said, Moses, get rid of these frogs from me and from my people. I can't blame him much. I actually told our youth group this morning, somebody lied to me one time and told me frog legs taste like chicken. I think frog legs taste like frog legs, right? Go Curtis Hudson on y'all. Things that are different are not the same, right? Amen. Frog legs and chicken aren't the same thing. I mean, I don't know. Exodus chapter number 8, it says, and Aaron, Pharaoh called for Moses. Verse number 8, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Verse 9 says, and Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And look at this. Verse number 10 is an amazing verse of scripture. And it almost, it blows your mind when you read it. Verse 10 says, and he said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. One more night. I heard a message one time. One more night with the frogs. Why did Pharaoh say tomorrow? Now, there's a bunch of different opinions as to why he said it, but he said it. You just read it. I mean, me personally, Moses would have said that to me today. Right now, Moses, works for me. I mean, do what you got to do right here. Call on God, get rid of these frogs, right? Tomorrow. We read that, and you know what we do? We almost chuckle. What's wrong with Pharaoh? Think God might be in heaven thinking, what's wrong with you? I'm going to start reading my Bible in 2018. I'm going to start being faithful to church in 2018. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to give out a gospel tract in 2018. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to get right with God. I promise I'm going to do it. When? In 2018. Tomorrow. 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 I'm going to get saved. Tomorrow. What if tomorrow never comes? Now, I'm going to finish, but I mean it with all my heart. God laid this message on my heart. And there's somebody in this building this morning, maybe more than one somebody. Today's your day. Today is your day. Don't wait till tomorrow. Because tomorrow might not come. There's people that got frogs in their life. I mean, tormenting them night and day. Everywhere they go, they wake up, there they are. They go to bed, there they are. They go to work, there they are. They're just constantly nagging them and nagging them and nagging them. And you say, what are those frogs? I don't know, but you know. And there's frogs in all kinds of people's lives this morning. And God's saying, hey, I'll take them away today. Why would you wait till tomorrow? Today is the day of salvation. Today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for man knows not what a day may bring forth. All we're guaranteed is today. And so of all the things I've said that I don't want to waste, I don't want to waste today. Because it might be my last day. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time. It's gone. Don't waste it. One life. Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Don't waste it. If you're here today and you're not saved, do it today. Today's the day of salvation. The devil's word is tomorrow. Do it today. If you're here and you need to get serious with God, don't wait till tomorrow. I'm all for goals. I'm all for planning. I'm all for challenges. I've got some in the new year I want to do. But I want to worry about today, because today's all I'm guaranteed. Don't waste it. Let's pray. If you would, you can bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, and you say with me, Brother David, I don't want to waste it. I don't know what it is, what it is, but you say, God spoke to my heart about something in this message, and I don't want to waste it. I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand, anybody like that? Say, that's me, Brother David. Lift your hand. Say, I don't want to waste it. I appreciate those of you that lifted your hand. Thank you. My hand's up. I don't want to waste it. You can put your hands down. You say, Brother David, I'm not saved. And I don't want to put it off till tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I want to do it today. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me that God's dealing with my heart. God's speaking to me, and I know that I need to be saved. I need to repent and trust Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that who would lift their hand and say, that's me, Brother David. I'm not saved, and I don't want to go another day. I want today to get that settled. Anybody like that would raise their hand and say, that's me. That's me. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, and God, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray, God, thank you for the message you've laid on my heart. Lord, I needed this in my life. God, help me, God, not to waste what you've given me, God, but help me to use it wisely and use it in a way that would bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand to your feet. I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor.